So the US federal minimum wage is currently at $7.25, which is a number that's not changed since 2009. In 2009, the top song in the charts was Fireflies by Owl City, and neither the iPad nor Instagram existed. Today, $7.25 is still the minimum wage in 19 different states. However, there is a notable exception to this, which is the US state of California, which is granted one of the most expensive states in the US. They've taken a much more hardline approach to their minimum wage relative to the rest of the US, at least. The most recent change happened just last year when they passed a bill that granted fast food workers a 25% increase from $16 up to $20, approximately triple the federal minimum. However, it was a pretty controversial proposal at the time. There were kind of two groups really, right? The labor groups on one side, who were arguing that it was a necessary increase to deal with the cost of living in California. And there was the other side of like industry group and franchise owners that argued it would like drive job losses and it would juice up inflation because those costs would be passed on to consumers. When Donald Trump was asked whether he'd be up for increasing the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to a higher number, he said the following.
I will agree. It's a very low number. Let me give you the downside though. Yeah. In California, they raised it up to a very high number. Mm. And your restaurants are going out of business all over the place. The population is shrinking. It's had a very negative impact. But there is a level at which you could do it, absolutely.
Yeah. What is that level?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I can say this. You have a lot of businesses that are open and thriving because of the lower minimum wage.
However, now we're almost a year into the increase actually being implemented, and there's actually enough data to measure the impact of this change. A few different research groups have been looking at it. There's one at Harvard and another from UC Berkeley. And the group at UC Berkeley recently published the second of three planned studies into the impact of the change. I think it's actually quite enlightening because you would think that the impact of such a big change in wages would be pretty cut and dry. But in the lead up, there were lots of conflicting headlines. And today, if you just type it into Google, you'll likely see a lot of conflicting headlines. One industry group took out a full-page ad in a newspaper claiming that California had lost nearly 10,000 jobs after the $20 minimum wage was signed. This was pretty inaccurate because they took a point of year where fast food jobs always drop because they're seasonal. So as California exits the summer every year, there's always a drop in fast food jobs. And it's an example of some kind of maybe shoddy reporting around it. If you read like literally anything about the minimum wage, the usual argument against increasing it goes something like this, right? So the idea is that if wages go up, then the cost of operation for the business is going to go up. And so they're going to mitigate that increased cost by either increasing prices, by getting rid of staff, or by closing up shop entirely if they can't afford it. That's the usual argument in a nutshell, right? There are other arguments, but this is the one you'll likely hear. However, like this is nowhere near like a consensus, even among quite talented economists. We can take the case of Darren Acemoglu, who, if you don't know, he won the Nobel Prize in Economics last year. And he's been a huge advocate for increasing the minimum wage in the US from $7.25 up to $15. He's one of the most prolific economists of like all time. If you picked a different economist, like Milton Friedman, for example, who he got Nobel Prize in the 70s, right? He claimed that the people who are hurt most by higher minimums are the poverty stricken. But that's just to highlight that you can build out an argument, but truly the only way you can really know is like post hoc, right? After you've implemented the change.
So before we dive deeper into the economic effects of California's $20 minimum wage, I wanted to talk a bit about how we consume news on polarizing policies like this one. Some outlets have framed the wage increase as an economic disaster, whereas others have portrayed it as an unqualified success for workers. And that's exactly why I'm working with Ground News. They're a website and app which aims to solve this exact problem by gathering news from around the world and across the political spectrum. They provide these really neat visual breakdowns for things like political bias, reliability, and the ownership of different outlets, and help you to compare a bunch of different perspectives and come to your own conclusions. I used Ground News when I was researching this video because I wanted to compare the California wage increase with Seattle, which actually has one of the highest minimum wages in the US. Ground News helped me see how Seattle's implementation was actually covered by different outlets, with right-leaning outlets focusing more on specific establishments who opposed the change, whereas more left-leaning outlets highlighted the economic benefits to workers. You can see how many sources have reported on a particular story, as well as the political distribution of the outlets. I think the blind spot feature is really useful because it shows you stories that you might not see otherwise. I really think this helps you develop a more nuanced understanding of people around you and can potentially lead to more productive conversations in real life. If you're interested, you can get 40% off their Vantage plan by scanning this QR code below or by using my link, ground.news/fads. Let's get back to it.
Most of the criticism that I could find came from a group called the Employment Policies Institute, which I seem to think was just, you know, like a research group, right? And the Employment Policy Institute published a bunch of these articles and stuff saying things like, new policy brief proves that California's $20 fast food wage is costing jobs and raising prices. But if you look into this group, the Employment Policies Institute, they're a nonprofit, right, supposedly. But they have, first of all, zero staff. They share their entire staff with Berman & Company, which is a PR firm, which is headed up by a restaurant and hotel industry lobbyist. And they've acquired a bunch of web domains like minimumwage.org, fightfor15.com, and effectively act as like a shell company to promote the interests of the restaurant and hotel industry under the guise of independent research. The Employment Policies Institute uses really similar branding to the Economic Policy Institute, which was founded about 5 or 6 years earlier and has no location or staff and is entirely staffed by a PR firm. There was one report that was published by a group called Berkeley Research Group arguing that the increase had done like all the bad things that had been predicted. Tens of thousands of job losses, double-digit percentage price hikes, and mass restaurant closures. However, the group at UC Berkeley, the university, argued that there were minimal price hikes, that fast food restaurants were actually opening more, and that it had basically no negative effect on employment. And you might be, you know, wondering which group was right. But the first thing I would say when looking at Berkeley Research Group, which is the group that said that there were thousands of job losses, major price hikes, and restaurant closures, is that this report wasn't like a university or an academic report. It's a consulting firm, right? It's a private company, and they openly admit that the study that they published was commissioned by the fast food industry, effectively, which on its own should make you pretty skeptical. But I think there's more critique when you dive a little bit further in, because they make some pretty sus claims across the board. There was a lot of questionable statistical methods that they used to arrive to the conclusion that jobs were being lost and that the fast food industry was collapsing in California because of the increased minimum wage. They didn't compare the prices to other states. They didn't compare the prices to fast food restaurants that weren't covered by the law. They didn't account for the fact that seasonally sales vary. And they also didn't account for pre-existing trends, like a slowdown in fast food consumption in the years prior to the law being passed. But a lot of news outlets ran with the headline just off rip. But I do think it's a fair question to ask, like, why didn't this happen? Why didn't wages increase the cost of operations and lead to mass closures in California? Because, you know, it kind of makes sense at a first glance, right? McDonald's isn't a charity. If they have to increase their wages and their costs, why wouldn't they also like proportionally increase their prices or have mass unemployment or closures? It seems almost like a no-brainer that increasing wages would make fast food inflation worse. But it is more complicated, as things tend to be. So the first thing to acknowledge is that there is a modest price increase that was discovered, even in the studies that were broadly positive towards this change. So the UC Berkeley study, not Berkeley Research Group, the university study, found that the average increase 2 quarters after the policy was about 1.5%. So by increasing the minimum wage by 25%, there was an average price increase of about 1.5%. In fact, what seemed to have happened is that California restaurants overcorrected in the first 3 months after the change and increased the prices by more than they needed to. So in the second quarter, they increased their prices less than the rest of the US. This is significantly less than what industry opposition had predicted, right? $18 Big Macs if the minimum wage was to be increased. Whereas the measured impact of this actually specifically looked at burger places, the measured impact was more close to 1.5%. But part of the reason why, you know, increasing the wages didn't just increase the cost of operations by a similar amount is to do with kind of the dynamics of the fast food industry and the dynamics of hiring people. Because you've got to think about like two quite important factors. First of all, hiring people is not free. The whole process of hiring people is quite expensive. And secondly, people are much less likely to quit a better paid job. And if you do a quick Google to try and figure out the costs involved in hiring someone to work in a restaurant or in fast food, you see numbers that range from like $1,700 to $5,800, and some numbers which are even in the five figures. Basically, hiring people is really expensive. It costs money to post an advert online, to review applications, to do interviews, to pay for any clothing and equipment a new employee might need. And even when they start, there'll be a gap in productivity that you'll have to account for. And that gap in productivity between an experienced employee and a new hire can be pretty significant and can actually cost you thousands of dollars. That is to say that the idea that increasing the minimum wage automatically increases costs for the end consumer by a proportional amount is like quite short-sighted. And it doesn't necessarily account for the fact that increasing wages can have benefits as well for an employer. But there is also like a second dynamic to this, right? Which is the idea that fast food restaurants can't absorb any increasing costs. The idea that fast food restaurants are operating at the absolute like minimum profit that they can already to be competitive in the marketplace. And that just seems to like not really be the case. If we look at inflation in the fast food industry versus general inflation across the US over the last decade, inflation between 2014 and 2024 was about 31%, but basically every major fast food chain has hiked their prices by significantly more than that. I feel like even anecdotally, you might have noticed that fast food has gotten crazy expensive already. At McDonald's, prices have on average doubled over the last decade. Right, Popeyes has gone up by 86%. And this at least implies that if the costs have increased above what inflation has been, there's a margin of profit that these fast food places can dig into. If you've been paying attention lately, you'll likely see that different fast food restaurants have been launching deals on like lower value meals in order to get more people in the door, which seems to imply that they're reaching the ceiling of what they can charge. And if they want more customers, they have to consider reducing the profit margin. And it's not just like me saying this. The CEO of Chipotle actually said that he'd not seen any real impact on sales because they were able to absorb most of the cost and keep their burritos around $10. They have a margin that they can cut into without going bust, especially because this law only applies to fast food outlets that have more than 60 locations nationwide, meaning basically that it was only for the larger ones. And, you know, I can't lie, there were some negative aspects to it as well, because even anecdotally, you'll see reports of people that have lost their hours. For example, this person in my community post said that they went from nearly 30 hours all the way down to 3 hours, which is a real shame. And it's sad to hear that they did lose hours. And it's been a historic problem that in industries like fast food and retail, many establishments don't want to offer full-time hours. I guess the question to ask, or the question to end on, is it enough, right? Because $20 an hour sounds pretty high for a fast food job, and 750,000 workers helped is a good thing. But when you look at the number that's been calculated as a living wage for California, then $20 isn't really necessarily a pay rise. It's much closer to like pay restoration, really. MIT has a calculator on their website where they calculate what they believe to be a living wage based on like Bureau of Labor Statistics data, housing costs, and their living wage estimate for a single person with no children in California is $28.72. And I don't think it's that radical to say that you should be able to be housed and fed comfortably if you're working full time. And that's why I say it's not necessarily a pay rise, but something closer to pay restoration. But, you know, progress is progress, and we'll take what we can get. What I do find interesting is that broadly across the US, people are in favor of increasing the federal minimum wage from $7.25. And amongst those who oppose the change, the majority of those people still want an increase. They just think that $15 is too high. There are good reasons why really highly respected economists are vocal advocates for increasing the minimum wage. It can have diverse effects on productivity, on pay restoration, on reducing inequality. And since Milton Friedman's initial claim in the 70s, there's been, you know, 50 years of research into the effects of minimum wage increases. Hence why you'll find a lot of prominent economists advocating for higher minimum wages. And I hope that the US will consider change, because a $7.25 minimum wage in like 19 states is wild, if you ask me.